When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we do ask now, as you have promised in your word, for the anointing presence of your most holy Spirit. We pray, Father, as we are a people today in need of your comfort, in need of the assurance of the gospel, in need of the strengthening and abiding presence of your Holy Spirit, that you would guide and direct us today. Help us to glorify and honor you and to receive from you that eternal strength and comfort and hope which we so desperately need. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a famous hymn that was written in 1873 by the hymn writer Philip Bliss that would have been appropriate for all of us who knew Bobby to sing today, and it is a hymn that Bobby embodied in his service and devotion to Jesus and to the Word of God. The hymn is entitled, Dare to be a Daniel, and it begins with these words, "Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few. All hail to Daniel's band." And the refrain goes like this, "Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known." The hymn ends in this way, "Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand. Satan and his host defy, and shout for Daniel's band." Now, this hymn is about the Daniel of the Bible and how God used Daniel so powerfully, but it's also a hymn about the same sort of impact that just a few faithful followers of Jesus can have in the world today. Now, you might be wondering as you're sitting there, well, what does the prophet Daniel have to do with our departed brother Bobby Franklin? Well, what we often forget when we think of Daniel is that Daniel was not only a prophet of God, not only the spokesman for God in his time and for future generations, but he was also the chosen servant of God, the chosen instrument of the Lord at the highest levels of the government of that day, the government of Babylon. And that was, in its day, the superpower. Daniel was God's voice in the halls of the capital, not unlike our departed brother Bobby. Now, Daniel often got on the nerves of the political elitists and power brokers in the land. He refused to eat certain foods from the king's table. He refused to obey the king's edict forbidding prayer unto the Lord. Daniel just wouldn't give in, and he wouldn't conform to the pagan culture and the political court that surrounded him. As a Jew who lived out his faith, he stood out like a sore thumb among the power-seeking sycophants of the Babylonian court. On various occasions, his fellow government officials even tried to plot his downfall, but they couldn't bring it off. because of Daniel's fame and reputation as a man of faithful, consistent, moral, and ethical service. And of course, they couldn't succeed because God himself was exalting his servant in the face of every single threat. Daniel was so constant and steady and so valuable a resource, not because of any particular strength of his own. He made a tremendous impact on the governing powers of his day because of his faith in God and because of an understanding he had of the Lord's sovereignty and the Lord's kingdom. In fact, much of the book of Daniel, including the visions that many of us remember, actually teach us about God's authority over every form of rule and authority on the earth. According to Daniel 7, this man of God saw a vision of the coming Messiah, the Savior, King Jesus. But he also saw Jesus' exaltation, and he saw the future dominion of God's kingdom. So I want to read to you now a little bit from Daniel's visions in chapter 7, beginning at verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Later in verse 27, we read this: the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them. Now, armed with this revelation of God, given the gift of the eyes of faith by the Lord Most High, Daniel perfectly understood that every governing authority was subject to God Most High. And in fact, every governing authority owed its very existence to the will of God. It wasn't that Daniel was so special, but that Daniel's God was so special, the one true living God. And Daniel's true God, alone among all the many false prophet gods of Babylon, was the giver of dominion and authority to whomever he pleased. Daniel didn't fear any earthly political authority if that authority was acting against his God. He didn't fear the sword. He didn't fear the lion's den. I mean, the fear of death meant nothing to Daniel. And Daniel didn't seek to exalt himself or to ever exchange his integrity for greater power. All that mattered to this servant of God was to serve his God. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Some centuries later, another spokesman for God, the Apostle Paul, had an amazing encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a vision of that same person that Daniel had seen in his vision, exalted by God and given an everlasting kingdom. And Paul later came to understand the same thing about civil authority and government that Daniel knew. And Paul wrote about it in Romans chapter 13. At one point he says this: "For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." Now we're gathered here today to receive comfort from the same God that sustained and comforted Daniel. And we need the assurance and strength of the Lord as we endure the passing into glory of a modern day Daniel. God mightily used his servant Bobby. It was Bobby's faith in the resurrected and exalted Jesus Christ that sustained him. It was Bobby's reliance upon God's holy word and what that word says about civil government deriving its powers from God, which guided his thoughts, his speeches, his legislation, and all aspects of his life, both personal and public. He believed that the governing authorities should conform their labors and their public service to the laws and principles of God and to the Constitution of the United States of America. Bobby was given faith in the risen and glorified Jesus Christ. He understood that Daniel's vision was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We give glory to God for his instrument, Bobby Franklin. We give glory and thanks to God that our grief is tempered with a certain knowledge that God has received his servant into the heavenly seat of all authority and dominion. He is in the very presence of Christ Jesus today. He is there glorifying God with the angels, the archangels, the cherubim, the seraphim, all the saints of witnesses who've gone on ahead of us. But you know, there are many people here today who continue in this life. There are many political leaders here today, very highly placed political leaders who knew Bobby quite well. Everyone else here, you all knew Bobby as well. And the thing is, Bobby has finished the great race that God set before him. He has received that crown of righteousness that the Apostle Paul anticipated receiving. So the question is, what remains for those of us who are here today? The question is, do we understand what Daniel, Paul, and Bobby all knew by God's grace? That the Lord is sovereign and designates political authority. That he sent his one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die as our substitute. That as God the Father received Jesus back into his glory, he appointed him King of kings and Lord of lords, head of all authority in heaven and on earth. Do we seek to apply God's will to every aspect of our lives? Because that's what God would have us to do if we are professing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God urges us today by his Holy Spirit, and as Bobby and others before him have done, to dare to be a Daniel. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand, Satan and his host defy, and shout for Daniel's band. Let us bow our heads now and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort and peace, consolation and hope through the Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of your Holy Spirit. We pray now, Father, for your comforting work in these brothers and sisters, these your people, in this time of loss. You tell us we are to weep with those who weep. And Father, this is indeed a time of loss and of weeping, but we also do not weep as those who have no hope. For Father, we have confidence in the promises of your holy word that you have received the Lord Jesus through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have received our brother Bobby into the heavenly places. We also praise and thank you, Father, that you yourself are our peace. We thank you, Father, that your word tells us that we need not fear the times in which we live, that with the help and guidance and grace and power of your Holy Spirit, we can indeed stand as Daniel stood in a time of great difficulty. We can indeed stand as the Apostle Paul stood in a time of great difficulty. And we can indeed stand today, Father, in this time of great difficulty, this time of great denial of the truth of the faith, we can indeed stand through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. Father, I pray that you would not only comfort these brothers and sisters, but that you would fortify them and continue sanctifying them and use them mightily as Daniels in this generation. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have an unusual Bible text I want to read, unusual for funerals, but after all, this is Bobby Franklin's funeral. I'm going to read from Daniel chapter 4, verse 28 to the end of the chapter. And all this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared sovereignty has been removed from you, and you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You'll be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, "What hast thou done?" At that time my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom, and my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out. I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true, and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. Because of that testimony of Nebuchadnezzar, a friend of mine made me a bumper sticker. Now, I don't use this bumper sticker, but I do cherish it. And there's not much use in putting it on my car because it's written in ancient Babylonian. And it says, "Nebuchadnezzar for president." I have been praying that God would enable me today to do three things. First, to comfort those here today, like myself, who are grieving over Bobby's death. Second, to encourage those who share Bobby's political vision, that they might stand firm without compromise for the truth and not allow themselves to be intimidated by pragmatists and compromisers. And three, to provoke you in political office to stand for the truth and to submit to God's supremacy over you regardless of the cost. Brother Hawley and I did not coordinate our messages. I did not know what he was going to say, nor did he know what I was going to say, and yet both of us choose our text from the book of Daniel. I would say that God did that. I would say that God brought you here to hear the very words that we would say from this book. God's hand is in all of it. And I urge you all to consider that God brought you here to hear these particular messages. First, to you who are grieving over the sudden, unexpected, and seemingly premature death of our beloved Bobby Franklin, how could such a thing happen? What was God thinking? Our stalwart hero, our voice in the Georgia legislature, at such a young age, gone. How can we explain it in a way that comforts our broken hearts? I think in the words of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, you know that story about Nebuchadnezzar that I read a portion of today. He was the most powerful man on earth, the head of the Babylonian Empire that ruled the whole Middle East. He was arrogant. He took all glory and credit to himself for everything that Babylon stood for. And so God decided to break him. And God sent the prophet Daniel to him and said, "Because of your arrogance and your unwillingness to recognize that the God Most High is the source of all authority and all law, you're going to lose your mind, and you're going to live like an animal in the woods for 7 years, eating grass. Your fingernails will grow, your head hair will grow, you'll look like an animal." After that, and it happened to him. And after he was humbled, he gave that testimony that he came to himself, that his reason returned, and then he was restored to a place of power and majesty over the entire Babylonian Empire. And it's in Nebuchadnezzar's words that we find comfort for our souls. Here's what he said. But God does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what hast thou done? On every page of the Bible, the true and living God reveals himself as the absolute sovereign of the entire universe, who is in total control of everything that happens on this earth, and who has a purpose and a perfectly good reason for everything that happens to us, even when he keeps us in the dark about those reasons. A sovereign God who keeps everything in his hand and holds the reins of all men wanted Bobby with him this week. And after all, you know that precious verse that I'm sure every one of us are familiar with to one degree or another, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together to those who love him, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God doesn't work all things for good for everybody. But he does work all things for good, together for good, to those who love him. And God worked out all of the details of Bobby's death. Bobby was supposed to come to church last week. He was to receive an alternative treatment for chest pains. He didn't make it. He probably died on the previous Friday. All of the details. Nobody found him till Monday or Tuesday. All the details orchestrated by God. It wasn't a meaningless tragedy. It was not some meaningless accident that Bobby Franklin died in his home. It was a result of the will and the pleasure of the God that Bobby worshiped. God had a purpose for Bobby's life, and he has a purpose for Bobby's death. Maybe the purpose of Bobby's death is to get you here to hear these sermons today. I tend to believe that. Now God's finished with his plans for Bobby. And so this past week, the Lord brought Bobby to himself. And the other day, God said to him, well done, my faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And now all we can say who miss him is that now I exalt and praise and honor the King of Heaven for Bobby Franklin. For all your works, O Lord, are true, and your ways are just, and you are able to humble those who walk in pride. Precious, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. Second, to you who appreciated Bobby because you shared his vision and his political goals, what are you learning from his short life? Above all else, learn this, which both his friends and his opponents recognized, and that is that he would stand for the truth and for right as defined in the Bible, even if he had to stand alone, without flinching, without compromise, standing inflexibly for righteousness, for the United States Constitution, and for biblical morality. He could not be intimidated. He could not be bought. His only concern was to please God in doing right. And by evaluating every bill presented to him, not by man's standards, but by the standards of the Word of God, he persevered to the end, faithful, regardless of the cost. Now, who does this remind you of? Because we didn't come here to preach about Bobby Franklin. It's a worship service. Who does this remind you of? It reminds me of three young men during the early days of Nebuchadnezzar's administration that he sentenced to death. You know the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men were prisoners of war. The Babylonian armies had taken the country of Judah, depopulated after destroying Jerusalem, depopulated the country, and took the Israelites captive in Babylon for 70 years. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three of those Jewish young men who were forced to work in the Babylonian government. They were faithful, they were true, they were godly young men, and they did what they could to advance the peace and the prosperity of the Babylonian Empire without compromising their Lord, Jehovah. And then arrogant Nebuchadnezzar, this was before he was humbled, Nebuchadnezzar decided he wanted everybody to worship him. So you know the story about the gigantic golden image of himself that he erects in a field and then orders everybody to worship that statue at pain of death. He announced, he said, when you hear the trumpets blast, everybody is to bow. And if you do not bow before this idol, then you will be cast into this furnace that I have set up just for this purpose. So the trumpets blast, and this field full of thousands of people fall to the ground and bow down. And in that field, there are three young men standing up as straight as oak trees. I mean, get the picture. And they're staring in the face of the most powerful, arrogant man on earth. And so Nebuchadnezzar is told about them. And he calls them into his presence and asks them what in the world they were doing. And they told them, sir, very respectfully, that they worship the one true and living God and would not bow down before any of the gods of Babylon. And so that so enraged Nebuchadnezzar that he heated up the furnace seven times hotter than it had been, so that the Babylonian soldiers that threw them into the fire died of the heat that was coming out of that furnace. Nebuchadnezzar was satisfied with himself until he saw what was taking place in the furnace. And he saw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking around talking to each other with a fourth man, whom he said was the son of the gods, but whom we would say is the son of God. Amen. And so he calls them out of the furnace, and their clothes weren't even singed. There was no smell of fire upon them. And so he released them. But I tell you that story because I love the testimony these three young men, probably teenagers, said before Nebuchadnezzar. Listen to this testimony. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give to you an answer concerning this. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hands, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Even if he does not, we're not going to bow or bend or break. You be like those three courageous young men. You that shared Bobby's political views. Even if you have to stand against your leaders, against your political party, don't compromise God and his word. Truth is non-negotiable. After all, abortion is always murder. Amen. Don't bend. Don't betray the truth. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't leave the battlefield. Continue to stand for Christian truth and morality past the point of weariness until one of two things happen. We win or we are laid in our graves. Be courageous. Let your children see you be courageous, and say with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, even if God does not save us, we will not worship your gods, and we will be faithful. Now, thirdly, to you in public office, and I do appreciate your coming. I appreciate the governor coming and all the rest of you elected officials here today. It is an honor to have you. Let me talk to you for a minute, since you're a captive audience. If you try to leave, these voters will see you leave. Do you know what I and many other people long for in elected officials like you? We long for men who have been humbled by God and who have been brought to understand and confess boldly what Nebuchadnezzar was brought to see and confess, that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and he bestows it on whom he wishes. That Christ's dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. That he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what hast thou done? I long for politicians who are willing to say sincerely, now, in my elected office, I praise and exalt and honor the King of Heaven. For all his works are true and his ways just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. I long for leaders who are willing to live, think, vote, and govern consistently with that confession of the supreme sovereignty of God over all people, all societies, and all human institutions. I long for men who are far more concerned with pleasing and obeying the will of Almighty God than with pleasing their party leaders or the media or the lobbyists or even their own constituency. God put you in office, and he can remove you just as easily. I call upon you in the name of that God to stand courageously for him and his law, and to let no one, however influential, persuade you to do otherwise. Whether you are a Republican or a Democrat is no concern of mine. My concern is that you recognize that God is the one to whom you are ultimately accountable, that you recognize that the source of law for a society is the God of that society, and therefore that you devote yourself to obeying and enforcing his law as the only basis for liberty and justice for all men. I mean, after all, according to our patriotic song, My Country 'Tis of Thee, God is the author of liberty and the great God our King. Politician, someday you will stand before the ruler of the kings of the earth, and you will give an account for yourself and for your use of the authority that he has given you. On that day, he will ask you, why did you vote for this bill? Why did you vote against that bill? He knows you through and through. And on that day, there will be no outmaneuvering him, no negotiation with him, no deals, no out-talking him, no outsmarting him, no filibustering, as he awaits your answer. And what will you say when you stand before Almighty God? Let us pray. We thank you, great God, for the life and memory, the work, the legacy of Bobby Franklin. We pray, O Lord, that you would bless his colleagues, to be faithful to you. Above all else, to be faithful to you and to your law in their own personal life, in their family life, in their businesses, and in their roles as elected civil official. May they see themselves as accountable to you above all else. And as they recognize and are faithful to and submit to your supremacy over them, God bless them. God use them.